Pop quiz. When you hear the word risk, do you immediately assume it's a bad thing?
Risk is traditionally defined as an uncertainty that could have an adverse effect leading to loss, harm, or damage.
But what if you could make a mental shift and retrain yourself to focus on the opportunity instead of the risk?
I always love those moments when I sit down to talk to somebody and they say something that makes me look at life or a situation in a completely different way.
Yes, that's Oprah talking about her favorite term from Merriam-Webster's 2012 New Words List.
A moment of sudden realization, inspiration, insight, recognition, or comprehension. Light bulb, bing, 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 and the little hairs on your arm stand up. That is an aha moment.
And those aha moments can be critical to success in the business world. Let's explore why on the season premiere of Welcome to Wheel of Risk, proudly presented by Allianz Trade. I'm your host, Alex McCabe. I cannot believe we are already on season 3. And in honor of that milestone, we're going to do things a little differently. The podcast is still called Wheel of Risk, but we're going to focus more on the positive. Think of it like Wheel of Opportunity. Don't worry, on every episode, we'll still spin the old wheel to pick a topic and then provide our usual combination of expert insights and actionable advice to help you keep your business solvent, secure, and well ahead of the competition. To help me kick things off today, I'm really pleased to welcome a fan favorite back to Wheel of Risk. Justin Seedorf, come on down. Justin is a Southwest Regional Vice President here at Allianz Trade Americas and a regular contributor to our podcast. Thank you so much for being here, Justin.
It's my pleasure to be back. I'm excited.
You are officially a fan favorite now. How does this make you feel?
Well, okay. So officially, what does that mean? Was there a vote cast or was there a poll taken?
It was completely arbitrary that we put that in there, but we wanted to build you up from the beginning of the podcast. So did it work?
Absolutely. I feel great.
Good. That was the aim. Okay. Justin, in light of the fact that you're a fan favorite, would you do me the honor of spinning the wheel for the very first time this season?
Here we go.
Bam! Whoa, that was a good spin. Excellent. You've landed on the Eureka Effect, a perfect topic for our season premiere.
Nice, nice. But listen, do you mind if I actually bring in some backup?
No, not at all. You're welcome to call a friend. Who do you have in mind?
Huh. Well, you know, I actually was thinking about this. I know the perfect person.
Hello?
Hey, Al, it's Justin from Allianz Trade. Listen, I'm down here at the Wheel of Risk studio, and I could really use your help.
Justin? Seedorf? The fan favorite? Absolutely. I'd love to help out.
Great. Thanks for rushing over. Alex, listen, this is Al Herrera. He's a leadership coach. He's a clarity expert. He's based here in Dallas, Texas.
Al, nice to meet you. Thank you for coming here to Wheel of Risk.
Absolutely, Alex. This is my pleasure. I'm honored that Justin reached out to me.
Okay, then start us off. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do, Al.
Yeah, so my name's Al Herrera. I am really a leadership coach and focused a lot on individuals beating down limiting beliefs and reaching their full potential, which tends to help me leverage optimism in the opportunities. And then I help organizations as well with regard to leadership in general and focus a lot on team building, culture, and how to move the needle forward.
Excellent. I cannot wait to pit you and Justin against each other.
Oh, great.
Oh, I'm excited.
There's a long-running debate in the business world about what the term risk really means and whether it's always only about negative things. But perspective means everything. And as we heard from our buddy Oprah off the top, sometimes it just takes a mental shift, a eureka moment, to see things in a whole new light. So let's start with some definitions. And keep in mind, guys, I will be awarding you completely meaningless points based on your answers. Okay, so the pressure is on. Al, we're going to start with you. How would you define risk and opportunity?
Risk, I tend to think of a negative thought that is overwhelmingly present when presented with a specific situation. And then opportunity would be the best possible outcome when looking at the same exact situation.
Like two sides to a coin.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay.
It's brilliant.
Thanks. Justin, what about you?
Yeah, so I tend to think about risk, and I think a lot of people do or should, as the potential downside of a scenario. Most people associate it with potential loss. And then opportunity, you can take the same scenario and you can look at what do you have to gain? What is the upside?
Okay. So bonus points, if either of you can tell me the origins of the word Eureka.
I think it's a German word.
I'm going to take a guess at Greek.
Definitely Greek. It is. It's attributed to ancient Greek mathematician and inventor Archimedes. Our friend Archimedes. Remember him? Okay, moving on. While we're talking definitions, it's also worth making a distinction between known and unknown risks, right, Justin?
Right. An unknown risk and a known risk, they actually are very different, because if you know what your risk is, or a known risk, then you've got the perspective to be able to analyze it, to make decisions based off of what you do know. It's the unknown risk that usually get people into trouble, because many times an unknown risk means you don't even realize that there is a risk there.
I agree with Justin on that. I think unknown risks, it sounds like something similar to worry. I mean, 85% of the things that we worry about never happen. And the 15% of things that we should, we rarely think of. So in actuality, it catches you by surprise.
Yeah.
So I guess another way to look at it is fear of loss versus hope for gains. So how do you make the mental shift from one state to another and sort of embrace that growth mindset, Al?
Yeah, from my perspective, growth versus fixed mindset specifically is fixed is all the external, right? Everything outside of what you can do. So if you just walk into situations really with no knowledge, then that risk becomes bigger. I think the way you shift that is challenge your thought about what the risk is, educate yourself a little bit, and prepare for what it is you're coming against, then you can overcome that.
Justin, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I look at the first word of each one of those statements, right? Fear and hope. Think about how people respond from fear. Parts of your brain literally shut down and your body almost goes into, like, you've heard the fight or flight mode, where you're not really actually making decisions. And sometimes you're just reacting. And while that can potentially save you in the short term, it can actually end up costing you in the long term. Whereas hope is a belief in something that hasn't yet happened. And so when I think about taking action or making a decision based off of hope, that's a much more positive and much more forward-thinking way to do things versus just reacting out of fear.
I feel like I should tell this to my kids.
Maybe you should.
These are wise insights. So both of you in your respective fields spend a lot of time face-to-face with clients. And I'm wondering, have you actually witnessed any of their eureka moments firsthand? Like, can you actually see that metaphorical light bulb flicker on?
I do see it. Like, I live for those aha moments for people when, for example, with regard to just emotional intelligence, being able to become self-aware and then self-manage. Speaking to someone the other day about the way that she managed herself, and she says, well, I didn't say anything, so I managed myself well. And I said, well, your face changed dramatically. Mm. So the reason why people are telling you to change your face is because it shows all over you what you're thinking. And so the aha moment for her popped up, and dramatically, she said she practiced it over the next 2 weeks and she saw a dramatic difference in how she was received. So for her, it means the difference between growing in an organization versus being stagnant and left behind and being respected differently with that aha eureka moment.
That's really cool. Justin, any light bulbs in your experience?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we see it all the time. We work a lot with people in organizations that actually manage credit risk. And there's a tendency for those types of individuals to have a specific mindset. And it's very much that fear of loss. I need to avoid. And time and time again, the quote unquote risk they are trying to avoid is what we just talked about, that known risk, right? They actually have all the information they need to make a good decision, but they are ignoring what they don't know about things that they think are just fine. But the reality is they have a significant risk there. And there have been multiple times where we've been able to pull back the curtain on some unknown risks where they literally said, oh my gosh, I can't believe that I've been operating the way I've been operating, not knowing this information. And then when you present them with data, they have that aha moment, the light bulb goes off. They're like, well, this is actually information I should be using when making decisions. And I can't believe I haven't been doing it before.
That's pretty cool. That's powerful to witness that and experience that with someone. I think about my own life, right? Back in 2015, I had a business opportunity, a work opportunity actually, to move overseas to Paris. And I had a very short time window within which I could decide whether I was going to do it. And there was definitely an opportunity attached to it, but my brain went immediately to all of the reasons why I should not do it. I just bought this house. I have a dog. I don't speak fluent French, whatever it might be. And so my brain immediately defaulted to fear. Okay. So my question for Al is, I ended up doing it and finding the opportunity in it, thankfully. But why do we tend to default to fear?
There's actually science behind it. And there's research based on the fact that 80% of your thoughts go negative right away. So it's a self-preservation mechanism that our brain naturally uses. And in actuality, not only do 80% of your thoughts go negative, but 95% of those thoughts are now repetitive. So it's really interesting that if you don't have an interruption, then it stays there. Your mind is constantly trying to protect you from any risk at all. What it doesn't do is it doesn't look for the opportunity unless something comes in between and disrupts that. And that's just the brain's way of protection. When in actuality, there is no saber-toothed tiger lurking around the corner. This is just an opportunity that you might be missing because you put on blinders.
So it's about disrupting that negative thought pattern.
Absolutely.
How do you train yourself to take a more pragmatic, less fearful approach to changing business conditions?
A big part of it is data, is information. To Al's previous point, we actually have to let the data do its work. We actually have to allow it to get us out of that negative mindset and then make decisions based off of it. And it's interesting because so many times we hear business leaders and executives that want to go with their gut. They want to go with their gut over going with what the data presents. It's kind of the old mindset, the old way of doing things. But in order for business owners, business leaders to not just avoid risk, but benefit from the changing business environment, they've got to leverage information and allow it to inform them on the decisions they make for their organizations. They can't continue to just fall back on their quote unquote gut, because the gut, as Al mentioned, is based off of years of evolution where we had a saber-toothed tiger lurking around the corner. And so we were scared of everything.
So using data, arming yourself with information to help disrupt the negative thought pattern.
Exactly.
Al, anything to add?
Yeah, I would say 100% agree. It's about education in general and finding situations around you, people around you that actually challenge your thought. Most often what I find is people don't ask for help at all. They tend to want to go it alone. And instead of seeking advice, they'll stay put and they'll stay in the fixed mindset versus big time growth and what could occur in them if they actually seek outside of what they currently know. And that's typically what I find with so-called experts in some areas is like, hey, we've been there, done that. And then it's like, times are changing. You have AI, you either grow with the times or you get left behind.
So I'd like to try a quick thought experiment, okay, if you're up for it. I will lay out a few scenarios, and without naming any names, I want you to identify the risk and the potential reward. Does that sound okay to you both?
Yes, sounds wonderful.
Sounds great. I'm excited.
All right. So our first scenario, let's say you're an aerospace supplier, okay, and you get a lucrative contract offer from one of the largest airline manufacturers in the US. What do you need to weigh before you respond?
Good question, because there's a lot of variables here, but anytime a smaller parts supplier or technology supplier gets a big opportunity with a well-known, maybe large company that everybody wants to do business with, their first response is, we got to take the contract. We got to do whatever we can to make this happen. But there are so many things that could impact your company's ability to fulfill that contract. So can we actually source the materials needed profitably enough in order to fulfill that contract? Do the manufacturing, maintain inventory levels, handle logistics? Do we know for sure that this manufacturer is going to be operationally viable for the long term? What are the potential risks that I'm not seeing? And have I taken the proper mitigants in order to be very confident in going after that contract so that if something does happen, I'm protected on the back end?
Anything to add, Al? I mean, I know we're not aerospace suppliers, but what are your thoughts?
The only two thoughts I went to instantly was scalability of the infrastructure that I currently have, looking at that first, because I got to look internal before I look external. And then I would look at some of the things that they forecasted in the past and their accuracy with their growth, so that whatever it is that I'm supplying them, that first of all, that we're going to be able to field the requests that they've had, and they've been dead accurate in the past, so I can go with their future forecast to be able to fulfill whatever order they put in. And then obviously I'd look externally at other partners they've had in the past to look at what they've done with those partners and how long they've been partners as well, from a vendor perspective, just to see, okay, are they burning through them quickly? Is there a particular reason? And so I can ask additional questions to find out some of their history with vendors in general.
Great answers, guys. Moving on to our next scenario, we're going to now pretend that you're the CEO of a major international video rental chain. Remember video rental chains. What if a small tech company that's pitching something called streaming wants to acquire you?
Well, if I'm closed-minded, I'm going to say no immediately, because I think I am the giant of videos. And in actuality, being the market leader sometimes does put blinders on. But I think from my perspective, I would look at what it is that they're proposing overall, dig into the technology a little bit and try it myself to kind of get an understanding, get a team of people that understand technology really well and the viability of it, and then make a decision based on what it is that's being proposed rather than just turning the blinders on and thinking, I'm the man.
Justin?
The first thing that comes to mind is disruptive. The entertainment space, the movie rental space, was absolutely disrupted and very quickly by streaming technology. Mm. And we've seen it play out in other industries as well. I think of like photography and cameras and things like that. But where the technology changes so quickly, there is a legacy organization that feels like they're the 800-pound gorilla and that they're too big to be disrupted. That usually doesn't end well for the legacy organization. And I think that you have to harken back to some of our earlier conversations where it's the fear of loss versus hope for gains, right? Like that CEO making that decision probably thought there's nothing to gain for us taking this opportunity because he had a fixed mindset on what had happened in the past. I don't feel like he was really letting the data that was available to him, to be clear, really inform his decision-making and to actually consider some of those options that probably would have ultimately saved his company. I think we all know who we're referring to, and I think there's one left.
What?
Yeah, there's one left. And listen, I'm a nostalgic guy, and that was my Friday night, was spent
Me
walking
too.
Through. You had the new releases, and then you had the action and adventure, and you could get two for $4, right? It was a great deal. My kids do not understand the concept of rewind. There's nothing in their life they've ever had to rewind.
No.
Right? Remember
absolutely.
That? Be kind, rewind, right?
My kids don't understand commercials, so there's that.
That's true.
That's right.
All right. That was a good one. Last scenario for us, okay? Identifying potential risk and reward. Let's say you run a $20 million fulfillment company that deals in cleaning products, and you get a request from a major retailer, and all you have to go on is that company's online presence. Sounds risky. How do you find the opportunity in that?
First and foremost, you got to keep in mind everybody puts their best foot forward online, right? Think about your social media feed. Nobody ever really posts real life stuff. It's always like, oh, look at me. I'm at the beach. I'm up in the mountains. Look at my amazing meal I just made. When 99% of the time it's, you know, mac and cheese and beanie weenie.
Chicken nuggets.
Exactly. So if you're making all of your decisions just based off of a company's online presence, yeah, that is risky. But you know what? Flip the script. What if it's a company you've never heard of and all you have to go on is their online presence? You might actually miss out on maybe what could be a really lucrative contract to take on doing business with a big retailer that has a great online presence, but behind the scenes, their financials are falling apart. And that could end up costing you both financially and from a time perspective.
Al, any thoughts?
Yeah, I think in this day and age where online presence is the shiny object sometimes, I think it is looking to find out who individuals have partnered with, what reviews, if any. Like, the web is full of things, and being able to search and dig and follow the trail sometimes will tell you a lot about an organization. But signing a contract with someone just based on online presence seems like a bit of a blind risk to me, that I might hold off and see if I can be patient with that process before inking a deal.
Mm-hmm. Guys, I have really enjoyed this round. Thank you for your wonderful answers. I'm now calculating the points, okay?
Ooh, I feel good about this.
I'm getting nervous. My negative thoughts just took over.
Yeah, okay. Al, don't let those 80% of your thoughts become, you know, don't give in to the 80% negative thoughts.
I'm a winner, baby.
I'm going to award you, Al, I'm going to award you 700 points.
Nice.
Whoa.
Okay? They're completely arbitrary.
But you
get 700 of them. Justin, I'm also giving you 700 points.
Amazing.
Okay? Tie.
So we're at an exact tie, but don't worry. There's still time to pull ahead.
Ooh, a tiebreaker. Are we going to wrestle?
Well, you're not going to wrestle, but we are going to do something fun. Welcome to the lightning round.
Ooh.
We wanted to go with Thunderdome, but that was taken. I'm going to share three true stories with you of someone who turned a risk or a problem into an opportunity. And then you both have to guess which company or product I'm talking about. Okay?
I'm up for it. I'm down.
Question number one. Nick Woodman was on a surf trip to Australia and Indonesia and got frustrated that he and his friends couldn't snap any decent action shots. He went on to create A, the Fujix DS1P, the world's first fully digital camera. B, the GoPro. C, image stabilization, or IS. Or D, the Parrot AR drone. What do we think?
B, GoPro.
You know, that's my initial response too. I think it's B. Although, if I had to pick a second, I would say D.
You can't pick two answers here, Justin. I
feel like I just did.
I'm strong with B.
I'm 60% B. So that's a majority. So that's good. B.
Okay. No, that's fair. All right. You're both correct. It is the GoPro.
Good job, Tay.
Here's a fun fact. GoPro was started in 2002, originally named Woodman Labs. Okay. Less catchy. And eventually made a drone, but that was discontinued after about 2 years.
Mm.
Now we've learned something. Ready for question number two?
Yes.
Jan Koum bought an iPhone in 2009. He realized the potential market for mobile apps and apparently was irritated after missing too many calls at the gym. So he went on to co-found A, Skype, B, WhatsApp, C, Instagram, or D, ICQ, does anyone remember ICQ?
Never remember that one. That one's out for me. I'm selecting B.
This is the second time I'm going to copy Al, but not because I'm copying Al, but because I truly in my gut feel like it's the right answer, which is also B, WhatsApp.
Okay, but you said before not to go with your gut. Remember this?
But also...
Did you phone a friend?
So when I took multiple choice tests, I usually didn't know the answer. I just knew what wasn't the answer, and that's what I did here.
See?
Process of elimination.
Correct.
Okay. This time your gut was right, Justin. It is B, WhatsApp, which was acquired in 2014 for $1.9 billion.
Jeez.
Whoa. I made a killer yawn.
Exactly.
You think he still goes to the gym and misses calls?
I wonder. He probably has a gym at his place.
I think he's good.
He's good.
Pretty sure he's got that taken care of.
Oh, all right. Number three, Austrian businessman Dietrich Mateschitz was battling a bad case of jet lag on a trip to Thailand in the early 80s when he tried a local invention that really helped. And he went on to found A, Natrol, maker of melatonin supplements, B, pillow company Tempur-Pedic, C, beverage maker Red Bull, or D, Nidra, maker of the deep rest eye mask.
I know this one.
Justin, you're going to have to answer first, so you can't copy.
Well, Mr. Mateschitz is definitely the maker of Red Bull, and it does give you wings.
Al, do you agree?
I will concur only because the inflection in Alex's voice when she read C.
Oh, so it was like a tell? Yeah. You really are a clarity expert. Okay, it is C, beverage maker Red Bull, which I am sad to say I still will partake in some Red Bull.
Oh.
Red Bull went on to become the third most valuable soft drink brand in the world. So
wow.
Dietrich was onto something there. Amazing work, guys. We do have a winner. Hang on, I'm just going to check with my producer. Drum roll, please. Al, congratulations. You are our first winner of the season.
Thank you.
I see Justin shaking his head.
I'm excited. I would like to thank Justin.
Well, you're welcome. But I'd like a recount. I think there were some hanging chads that weren't counted.
There could have been, but you have been a really good sport. And because of that, and because I'm such a good host and a nice host, I will offer you both one last chance to sum up your takeaways from this episode, okay? So, Al, since you're our winner by a landslide, by the way, you can go first. Let's put 30 seconds on the clock, okay? Al, any key takeaways from our discussion that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, key takeaways for me are that just because you haven't been there, seen it, or done it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist and it can't be an awesome opportunity. So inspect every opportunity, get educated, challenge your beliefs, and go into it with a growth mindset so that you can come out on the other side with a great decision on how to move forward.
Thank you so much. Justin, you also get 30 seconds despite losing today. What is the main thing you'd like our listeners to remember about Eureka moments and reframing risk?
Yeah, so Al talked about challenging beliefs, and I think he led off by saying just because you haven't been there, haven't done it, doesn't mean it doesn't exist and it's not a great opportunity. And I would actually kind of piggyback off of that, but I would say just because you have been doing it a certain way doesn't mean it's actually the best way to do it. And you don't want to be blinded to opportunity that exists outside of what you do know. And so be open to more information, more data, because ultimately, if you're not moving forward, then you're stagnant and you're dying. And that is where nobody wants to be.
So basically, the real risk is avoiding opportunities in the first place.
Yes.
Ooh,
I like that. Like it.
Thanks, guys. Really Thank good. You. Oh my, there's music. And that means, unfortunately, we are out of time. It has been an absolute blast talking with you both. Thank you so much for being here to help me kick off season three.
It was a pleasure. I enjoyed it immensely.
Thank you.
Justin, will you come back even though you lost?
I will, because I do have to redeem myself. I'm a terrible loser, by the way.
My guests today have been leadership coach and clarity expert Al Herrera and Justin Seedorf, regional vice president at Allianz Trade Americas. I'm Alex McCabe, and this is Wheel of Risk, brought to you by Allianz Trade. Thank you so much for listening to our Season 3 premiere. If you learned something, we'd really appreciate it if you could leave us a nice review wherever you get your podcasts. Talk to you soon.